Chapter 7, The Crossing. "Ah, dawn," sighed Bismarck, "not only the name of our beautiful leader, but also the time when we night prowlers should be asleep." The sugar glider yawned and plopped himself down on the ground. The morning sun was already beating down on them, baking the dry soil and making the air shimmer. Dawn approached Bismarck. "Stand up," she directed. "We can rest when we get to the pond."
"Rest? Or face certain death?" cried the sugar glider.
Reluctantly, he hoisted himself to his feet. "If we don't get nabbed on the way, we'll be gobbled by those nasty coyotes when we get there." Dawn turned back toward the river. "We must cross," she said, surveying the banks. "It is only a question of how."
"We could make a raft," said a bat.
The others flapped their leathery wings in agreement.
"Most cunning, most clever."
"Most thick-headed," snapped Bismarck. He turned to the bats. "Surely you see the current moves far too fast for a floating device. We would be miles downstream before we reached the other side."
"I'm afraid he's correct," agreed Dawn. The fox lowered her face to the water and prodded at it with an outstretched paw.
"Animals of boundless flight," said the sugar glider, taunting the bats. "When will your sonar be fixed so you can find yourselves a good idea?"
Dawn ignored the bickering.
"Look at these sea cucumbers," she pointed to the knobby cucumber-like creatures floating on the water. "They shouldn't be here."
"What do you mean?"
Cora leaned over the water's edge, her brow creased with confusion.
"They are saltwater creatures," said Dawn. "They should be in the sea, not the river."
Curious, the pangolin extended his exceptionally long tongue to investigate further.
"Ick!" he exclaimed, quickly snapping it back. "Oi, gavaw!" gasped the bats in unison. They extended their wings toward Tobin.
"That's not a tongue. That's a jump rope," the bats cackled.
"Oh, goodness, yes," stammered the pangolin. "My tongue." Self-conscious, he covered his mouth with one paw.
"Enough," Dawn commanded. "Tobin, what's wrong with the water?"
"It tastes salty, I think. Just a little bit."
Dawn dipped a paw in the water and then licked it.
"You're right," she confirmed.
"Most clever canine. Illustrate this finding. Empower us with knowledge. Tell us what this means," exclaimed Bismarck.
"This means that, for some reason, seawater has mixed into this freshwater stream." Dawn looked out onto the river.
"So the sea cucumbers are lost," concluded Tobin.
"Yes," said the fox. Gently, she placed a paw onto one of the long blobs. It continued to float near the surface, supporting her weight surprisingly well.
"Hmm," she said. "I think the sea cucumbers could be very helpful to us if we could just think of a way to control their direction."
But the bats were no longer listening. Bored of river talk, they had surrounded Tobin.
"Can it feel that?" asked one. "Can it taste this?" said a second.
The pangolin yelped.
"What are you doing?" Dawn gasped.
The fox turned to see all four bats prodding Tobin's stomach with their long bony fingers.
"Says he stores it right here," said a bat.
"It's longer than his body," cried another.
"What's longer than his body?" asked Cora.
Tobin blushed. "My tongue," he replied, cradling his belly. "It coils in my stomach when I'm not using it."
Slowly, the pangolin inched away from the bats in the direction of the fox.
"Dawn," he said, eager to change the subject, "they're going after that green stuff in the water."
Indeed, slowly but surely, the sea cucumbers were chasing after the flecks of algae floating downstream. The fox's face brightened.
"Come," she said.
Dawn searched the edge of the river, gathering green plants with her paws. "Collect all the algae you can, and then store it in your mouths."
"I don't understand," said the wombat. "Should we eat it?"
"No. This is how we will cross the river," Dawn said, a green wad already tucked in her bottom lip.
"Watch."